You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise!
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we're incredibly excited, but we're actually feeling bad for some of the Karius, the Karius family. We're worried about them. Then we fire back at TMZ. Everybody's getting it. You not talk smack about American soccer.
Cap. In the second interview, not only do we not talk crap about American soccer, we represent American soccer with the Americans that are representing America in the World Cup. Is this confusing you? It shouldn't, because we got from Fox Sports, the lead analysts, we got John Strong, we got Stu Holden, in the studio with little old us.
Crazy.
Isn't that wild? That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yo.
Wow, what a show.
What a show. Usually when we're the longer the scream is, that means the show is going to be better.
Oh, yeah? Or sometimes we're faking the energy. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Just like my wife.
take her, please.
Take her. I'm not married.
Oh,
take her. Hey, well, but it got very real very quickly. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans podcast. This is, this is going to be nuts, man. I cannot believe the guests. I mean, this is become, you know how Desus and Mero always go the late night show with the most illustrious
guests?
This is becoming the most illustrious guest soccer podcast.
I mean, this is the most illustrious hosts. Why wouldn't you get the most illustrious guests?
It pairs quite well together.
Yeah. We're like a podcast. We're like soccer world sommeliers.
Yeah. Delicious. Delish.
I could smell the leather-bound boots.
Is this oak?
Yeah, and the smoked cigar. A lot of tanning. Never mind tannins.
Ooh, I sent hint of Soylent.
Ooh. A little Soylent in the back.
Does this come from Silicon Valley?
Yeah. I have a lot of Dracar Noir on the nose.
Welcome to the Cooligans podcast, everybody.
What are we doing? What are you doing listening? None of us know, but what a hell of a show we have. Thank you for listening.
My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
That's right. And we're your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to.
It's also the gulliest soccer podcast that's ever existed.
Real on real on real. All right. That's all we do. We keep it. Are we the realest soccer podcast? Is that? Can we add that to the AKA?
Not only are we the truest, we're also the realest. So that makes us the trillest.
The trillest.
We are the trillest. We are the gulliest.
Let's go.
What now? Somebody correct us. I dare you, dog.
I think this new Pusha T album is getting everybody, got my confidence up.
Yeah, within 24 hours, we published a diss back to Pusha T. He didn't say anything to us. But we can't let Drake be the only one getting
shot. We're recording this podcast around mountains of cocaine.
Yeah. You think he moves weight? Watch what happens when I'm asleep and my wife wants me to roll off of her.
Pushing.
Let's just say her back is filled with malice after that. We got bars, kid. We got bars.
So look. You heard at the top of the show in that little intro, John Strong and Stu Holden of Fox Sports, of Fox Soccer,
crazy,
going on their way to the World Cup.
Crazy.
The Russian connects. All right.
What?
On their way to Russia for the World Cup. And we got to talk
to them
on the show.
They're colluding to have a great World Cup.
They're going to be on this damn show. This is crazy. We're two idiots from Newark and Brooklyn.
We shouldn't be talking to John Strong and Stu Holden.
Coming into the studio to talk to us. I mean,
we shouldn't even be in a studio.
It's beneath them.
Yeah. What are they doing over at Fox?
But man, it's an honor that they could be on the show, and you're gonna hear just a great conversation that we had with them.
I'm as excited to talk to them as anything. I mean, because, you know, we talk to people that are in the world, and we talk in like the soccer world, and we talk to people that have done great things. These two are about to be the only ones, really.
Sure.
Who represent America?
I mean, there's other analysts, other commentators,
there's other people, but
they're the lead.
I mean, like,
they're the lead.
I mean, these are the forefront of American soccer right now. It's Stu Holden and John Strong.
And the Cooligans.
And the Cooligans.
By association.
Well, you know what's funny? They're coming on the show because if it wasn't for us talking to them, no one would know this World Cup is happening.
Imagine.
They need that promotion.
Who is the person listening to this that listened to the Cooligans podcast being like, oh, well, the World Cup's coming up.
Oh, shit. This year?
Oh, my bad. I didn't even know.
Baby girl, that vacation going to be different.
I got to. All right, let me look at my calendar real quick because I think I got to change things up a little bit.
The issue is that I didn't update my calendar, you know what I mean, with the World Cup.
It's just Google, Apple and Google, they don't really work well together.
You know how hard it is to sync, right?
Baby, you know how it is.
I need to bring my Filofax back is what I think. You know, I need to carry it around, babe.
Oh, man. So,
Go to your mother's beach house next year is all I'm saying.
It'll always be there unless it's on a coast that is suffering from lots of hurricanes.
In fact, she's only 3 blocks from the beach. By next year, she might be waterfront property.
Oh, thank you, Planet Earth. So we are going to talk about the World Cup a little bit with those guys. But a lot of things have happened. Look, I mean, last week we were talking about Kicking and Screening, the Kicking and Screening Film Festival last week because we were going to it.
We were
going
to go to it.
Yeah. And
we went to it. We did go to it. Promised.
We fulfilled our promise.
Yes.
And we did go. And I mean,
speaking of illustrious.
So, yeah. Last year we went because we had one show. We were on one of the panels.
We were a panel. And we don't go unless we get asked to speak or make an appearance. We don't show up to your event.
But this time we made an effort to go to more days of the film festival.
Yeah. Because last time we only went to, I couldn't go to the final right now. No, you couldn't go to the final.
I couldn't go to the final. We went to the one that we had the panel on, and you went to the last day.
Yeah, and you went to a different show, right?
No, I only went to that one.
You just went to the one.
I couldn't go to any others.
If you don't put it in the contract, you don't do it. You're the Monique of this podcast.
That's right. I want to be paid as much as Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock.
Yeah. They got $60 million. How much are we getting paid to show up at the Kicking and Screening Film Festival?
We got
nothing?
Absurd.
$60 million difference here.
You mean there's no money in American soccer?
Come on.
So look, but we went to 3 different nights, and look, floored. I was blown away. The films were amazing.
Films are great.
The people who were there were amazing. We got chatted up. We got a little networking.
Little shaking hands.
Little drinking. Little Icelandic beer.
What is it? Ishtar. What's the name of it? Einstock.
Einstock.
Little Einstock. Right?
Yes.
3 different kinds. We tried all 3 a couple times just to make sure we knew which one we liked. You know? A mouse hit my foot at one point. It was a weird night.
It was a weird night. A lot of things happened. Yeah.
That wasn't planned.
But
a lot of cool people.
I mean,
though,
just off the top of my head, let's talk about just real quick some of the films that you have to go see. Like if they're ever, I don't know how they're going to be released or when they're going to be released.
There's probably going to be like a VOD, like a video on demand system or some sort.
I mean, the film on the
Messy and Me was a dope one.
So the three features that we saw were I look at the name.
You saw the Tropical Incident one, right?
No, I didn't see that one.
Neither did I.
Yeah, yeah.
I know if you guys watched Compass Football's Facebook Live, I said I did watch it. I was put on the spot. I didn't want to take the whole time up to be like, no, you're wrong, Jason Davis. I didn't see it. But whatever. I played through it because I know what happened in the story. Because remember, we joked about it on this podcast when we probably shouldn't have.
On the first night, we saw Football for Better or Worse, which was the film about the, what country was it in? FC Rosengard,
that famous women's soccer team.
Their goal is always to
Sweden.
Win. They always want to win the Champions League,
right?
The Women's Champions League in Europe, and
they had Marta. They had some really big names over there.
It was great. That was great. And then Messi and Me, which was the film about the guy who did the bicycle. He played in an exhibition match, like a charity game, with Messi
at Soldier Field.
These were players that played for Northwestern,
right?
So they got
the Northwestern coach was involved, so he got a bunch of the older, like more popular players.
Yes, who had already graduated.
And these guys weren't even playing professionally.
Yes, and this guy, Matt Eliason, who was
tried out for Red Bull and didn't make it.
That's right.
Didn't get drafted, didn't make it, but he's a scorer. So he goes and just goes become part of corporate America, does his bicycle kick, Messi gives him a lot of credit.
It's on SportsCenter.
Yeah, it's number one on SportsCenter. It's everywhere. Next thing you know, he's getting calls from professional teams around the world.
Yeah, so he went from having this viral moment, the bicycle kick in front of Leo Messi. Even Messi was like, all right, damn son.
It's an exhibition.
Where'd you learn that? Watching me?
I know. Yo, could you show me how you did it? Is that possible?
So,
Gareth Bale apparently was watching it, by the way.
And then he ended up getting a professional contract in Iceland to play. And it was an amazing story. The short, Boniek e Platini, which was the film just like about Cold War era Poland or whatever.
Was it Cold War or was it World War II?
I think it was Cold War. Maybe I don't remember what time.
I think it's World War II.
No, it's 82, so it's Cold War.
Oh, 1982, yeah.
Yeah, the World War II was a couple months before that.
Just a couple, I think a couple weeks.
Before 1982.
If someone would have been on a podcast and mentioned it, maybe I would have known.
So those were great. You can see all the films that were screened at kickingandscreening.com. But honestly, if you get any opportunity to see any of these movies, you hear their name, you see them anywhere, go see them. Nosso Chape, which it was, we didn't go to that night, but
people were crying.
They said it, which is incredible. We interviewed Michael Zimbalist
on this podcast,
which you can listen to, so you can hear about the movie about the Chapecoense tragedy. And then on the final night, which another film I was absolutely floored by, American Football,
crazy,
which was Peter Carl, who we know from Copa 90.
He does a bunch of videos for Copa 90. I don't know if he still works there because I know he lives in LA now, but
he does. I spoke to him about
okay
it.
Yeah, he does.
He's working, like, I think he's in like some Copa 90 small bunker in LA.
Yeah, his apartment. Yeah, you can tell he's got a nice tan, a little bit much. Him and his three friends we missed this because we weren't a part of the soccer community at this point.
This was in the last World Cup.
Yeah, so the way we are now, but they would have probably been on the show if we were. They went to a bunch of different shows and did a huge GoFundMe to travel around Latin America on the way to Brazil for that last World Cup.
Yeah, and they started in Mexico.
Yeah.
They went to
San Diego, down.
Mexico, Cholos, and then they went to like Costa Rica, Ecuador.
Argentina, Uruguay, and then up to Brazil.
And Chile. Did they go to Chile or no?
I don't think they went to Chile.
Okay. But and then they ended up in Brazil. But the film is just well done. Funny.
Yeah, very funny.
Very funny. Very like...
A lot of nods to what's happening now. They're like, I can't believe we're going to have to wait so long for the next World Cup. It was just really funny lines in there.
Yeah. So it was super, super well done. Again, we don't know exactly when it's going to be... any of these are going to... Nosso Chape, I know, will be out in June. You'll be able to watch it, but some of the other ones they're like sort of up in the air, but when we do find out and we know that you can be able to see them, we're going to mention it on the show because they were incredible. And shout out to Kicking and Screening for just running a great festival. If you are in New York or going to be in New York, the festival is every year right around this time. Go see some films there. I mean, if you want to support soccer and the arts that surround the soccer world,
absolutely,
this is like the festival that you need to be going to. So in the future, I think it's a thing that's only going to get larger, but I had an absolute blast. It was so, so fun hanging out with a lot of people. And we even met a couple players.
Couple of the Rebel players. Rebel and NYCFC sponsored it last year. This year it was just New York Red Bull. First of all, shouts to Willie and Michelangelo, who work out there. They're awesome. They're big fans of ours. But yeah, we got to meet. We actually only really got to meet Velo.
Florian Velo, yeah.
Florian.
Yes, the rookie for the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met him, and I was first initially surprised with he was very cool. He was a cool dude.
Very cool. He kind of knew who we were, like he had heard of us, but it wasn't like, listen, he doesn't listen. But we just started bullshitting and joking around, and we were making fun of him because he had like an old 5S.
He had an iPhone 5S.
We're like, come on, son, what are you doing? Like, come on.
What's up with this MLS salary?
You can't be scoring against my favorite team and having this phone in hand. This is bullshit, you know?
This makes it just rubbing salt in the wound.
You shouldn't even be able to play. You should be at Tech right now. You should be over at the Genius Bar trying to figure out why you ain't getting emails. And we were just messing with him, and he was totally cool with it. We were like, like all joking around. It was a great time. And, you know, just took a picture of us and he said, New York is right on the bottom. I mean, you know, what an ass, but in a good way, in a great way. We love the banter.
Yeah, I love the banter too. It was fun. We got to like trade shots, whatever. So it was fun. So, again, great event. So let's start talking about some of the other things.
And also, by the way, thanks to Greg and thanks to Ollie and thanks to Rachel for putting that on. It's a great festival and we can't believe that we get invited to it and are part of it. It's really awesome.
Exactly. So let's talk about the other little, like minor league soccer game that was going on over the weekend. The Champions League final.
Oh, they still do that?
The Champions League final in Kiev. Well, I never even heard of that place. I don't even know what's going on. But we didn't get to watch it together. I watched it with a couple.
Oh, were you sad?
Yes.
Were you sad?
I mean, I'm just laying out facts to the fans. There's no emotional, you know, sentiment behind anything I'm saying. let's let that be clear. You were at like some barbecue.
I went to a Colombian barbecue. So we both got invited to Deadspin's offices. They have a theater in there.
Yeah.
It's the same place we saw the Mexico-Jamaica game.
Jamaica game, yeah.
So pretty cool space. It's like a little theater there. It's really awesome. And they have like stadium seating. It's really cool the way they did the whole thing. And you get to, they play soccer games and stuff in there. Look, it's all, or they at least show them. It was awesome. I would love to have gone. Did they have free food and free drinks?
They did.
Come on now. Now I'm upset. But the reason why I said no is I got invited to a 4-year-old's birthday party.
Oh.
Queens.
Yo, turn up.
Son, you want party, dog? Yeah, I don't know which team Dora would like, okay? Please stop asking me questions. By the way, 4 outfit changes. She dressed like every one of the princesses from Disney movies. And I know that because all the women were like, oh, she's dressed like, and then name a princess. I've never heard of any of these people. I'm like, could you all get out from in front of the TV screen? But the reason I went.
But if she was dressed as some chef from like 18th Street and 3rd Avenue, you'd be
well,
like,
then this kid is pretty awesome.
Some pizza chef.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
a little
yeah.
Babysitter wow. Kid.
You got the coolest damn kid I've ever met.
Damn, where'd you get that hat? How'd you get that Prince Street pizza hat? I will say this. I went for one thing and one thing only. Colombians know how to barbecue.
Sure.
And I showed up. These dudes had Sancocho cheeseburgers, man.
Wow, that sounds good.
Oh, it's incredible.
Are Colombians known for barbecuing per se?
They're known for like outdoor cooking. Like it's a big street food culture, you know?
Okay.
Arepas everywhere. I'm not kidding you, like everywhere. There was like a little thing, a salad and a little crudite, a little vegetable. Nobody was touching that. D went up there and I was like, yo, D, yo, sit down. You Latino tonight. Baby girl went up there, like, are these baby carrots? And I was like, sit your ass down, girl.
Smack him out of her hand.
Come on now. You better go get yourself a piece of sausage and an arepa and some white cheese. Yo, you know what she did? Sacrilege. If y'all don't know, you take the arepa, you put the cheese on top, and then you put whatever you want, right? She saw the cheese out. Mm. She put a little salad on a plate. She goes and grabs a piece of white cheese, cuts it in half, and mixes up some of the white cheese in her salad. I'm not kidding. I said, D, do me a favor. Look behind me. What's everyone doing? She's like, why is everyone looking at me? I was like, you just took a piece of cheese away from a potential arepa. You don't do that.
You don't deny an arepa its opportunity to really bloom into.
You took away its duvet.
It's like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly.
You took away its duvet. You know what I mean? And now you got an arepa with nothing on top. Someone's going to get an arepa and be like, yo, why is there only half a piece of cheese on here? They didn't plan for you and your sweet green salad making ways. And she's like, oh my gosh, should I put it back? No, you mixed it in with everything now. I took the other half of the cheese, and I had only half a piece of cheese on an arepa.
For the most part,
luckily, I ate 5 arepas. That was good.
For the most part, I would never think of you as like, you know, a maltempered, angry, abusive husband. But like, I think the thing that would cross you into that realm is just like this: some food, some salad, some lettuce based argument.
Leafs are involved somehow. I'm like, hey, can I talk to you downstairs real quick?
Man, I'm like you guys in couples therapy over over just some
the
cabbage.
The doctor's wearing a guayabera just like, I mean, how can you do that to the arepa? And she's like, how am I the one that's wrong here?
So
I did get to watch it.
You
did
get
to watch it.
I watched it. Yeah, it was at Deadspin. It was hosted by NYC Footy, which threw a great party. And a bunch of friends came out. Comedian Andy Haynes was out there.
I saw the Arsenal tattoo photo. That's a dope one. one.
Yes, Dave Montion, Youssef, NYCFC guy. There was a fun moment.
I saw Dave won an Arsenal jersey.
Yeah, they both.
And it's the one he wanted. He wanted the black and the pink. So, yeah. Shouts to you.
Yeah,
that's why you hang out with the Cooligans.
Yeah, and Andy won as well, which is cool.
What did he win?
He won the kit and boots as well.
Oh, look at that.
Awesome. And they both have Gunner tattoos on their body, which is like, what a coincidence.
I'm glad they got to meet.
Let's talk about the Champions League real quick. We don't really talk about European soccer that much. It is very dull.
It was a great game, actually. Well, part of it was a great game.
You know what? I'm gonna say it wasn't a great game, right?
It had moments.
Look, the Bale goal is going to be something legendary, but the fact that the competition wasn't up to par, okay? It felt like I was watching the championship playoff.
Actually, that was way more exciting.
Totally.
Fulham versus, Aston Villa?
Aston Villa, yeah.
That was exciting as hell.
A little sad.
Wow, who knew playoffs could be so much fun? Huh? Europe?
A little sad, Jason Terry.
Get your shit together, Brexit, then come talk to me. By the way, while we're speaking of Europe, shouts to the Bohemians over in Dublin. Shouts to Gary Doyle for getting me the jersey.
Yeah, man. So my issue with the game was Loris Karius was, come on, man. That's like just, it's so absurd. It takes away from the excitement of how competitive the game should really be.
I was talking about him. I was joking around. I'm not saying anything. I don't know how this dude's going to come back from this. This was the biggest blunder in Champions League final history. Wow. Wow. <Dude. laughs> You got to hold that now? That's you?
Yeah. I mean,
That, and people put it right on both of us. There's not many of them, but some of them do exist. Said that the second, had to be Bale again, huh? Wow, you're not going to be able to sleep tonight. And actually, he tweeted out later that he really couldn't sleep much. But the second Bale goal that he sort of stopped it and it sort of still went in because it was hit with such power. There was a previous goalkeeper who said that the first one's still in his head. You could see it in a lot of his actions that he's lost a lot of confidence. Goalkeeping is almost all confidence based. And I don't know how this dude's coming back from that. You hope Mohamed Salah can get ready for the World Cup because that's like the guy everyone wants to see.
He's really like the only one that matters.
I mean,
people are like Neymar who? Yeah. Neymar what?
No, people don't care about that.
It's a Salah show.
Yo, no time has, most people in England be like, yo, let's go watch that Muslim dude. That's never happened. He's made a lot of changes. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
He did a commercial for anti-suicide and, the numbers spiked of people calling the hotline to get help.
I think we were going to say the number spiked of people committing suicide, which was me. Like
people just pretending to want to just to meet him, which is not what you want to do.
He's like a massive name.
He's doing it all for Egypt. So you hope that he's all right.
Yeah,
especially if Sergio Ramos ever wants to have an Uber in New York. Doug, you're not gonna get an Uber, Sergio.
I don't know if it was like a petition or there's like this growing list of Egyptians that are like number one guy that is the most hated.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, in a fraction of a second, you would think it would be some like American politician or something like that. But no, it is Sergio Ramos for what I thought. Look, some people felt it was a dirty play. Some people felt it was not. I don't know.
Who felt like it wasn't a dirty play? I need to hear and or probably, meet this
probably
person.
Probably Madridistas, I think.
We got a lot of hate on our Twitter. I was doing a lot of live tweeting. Again, there was kids running around. We were getting a lot of hate, a lot, from people who are from Madrid fans saying like that we're just Madrid haters. It's like, no, are you watching what we're watching?
I had no issue with like their play. They're an entertaining team to watch. They're not like my favorite team.
No, it's just Sergio Ramos. Sergio Ramos also throws an elbow into Karius's face.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't need that now.
Yeah.
You've seen what he's put up with. My God, kick a man when he's down. Elbow a man when he's down.
Look, Sergio Ramos is one of the greatest defenders to play the game. I mean, there's no denying that. But in this particular game, and I think, if he was playing in a league that or in a game that was under video review,
it was under video review.
Not
Champions League is
not video review.
Yeah, they got VAR in Champions League.
You, No, I think you're wrong.
No, I'm positive.
Please confirm that. I'm almost sure they do not. Why would they just introduce it? I don't know. Maybe Europa?
No, I don't know.
Double check. But I think if he was in a game that was under like a video review, then he wouldn't be able to behave that way. He wouldn't be able to be as to do the dark arts, so to speak. Right. So look, I see it right there. We'll not use UFC.
Yeah, no, it's not being
used. It's not being used. I thought it was.
I thought they used it in one of the leagues.
In one of the leagues,
like a Europa Champions.
They use it in Italy. They use it in Bundesliga. MLS.
No, I'm talking. They use it in MLS.
Major League.
You don't say.
I'm saying I'm listing the ones that they use it. They don't use it in any tournament. Yeah. Oh, FA Cup is the only other one I believe.
That's the one
that they use it in. Okay.
All right. Never mind.
So if Sergio Ramos was playing the FA Cup, he wouldn't be able to behave like this.
Very difficult to do if you're a Madrid. Well, we're gonna win that one. We're a la Madrid.
And I get, I'm not even necessarily, I wasn't mad at his play or the way he plays. I think he is a good player.
He is like Felipe-esque in the sense that he's there to draw the bad out of you.
It's unfortunate that Mohamed Salah got hurt in a play that was, he was
what, dirty.
He was dirty. He was trying
to, it was a dirty play.
Not letting him get, he didn't want Salah to get the ball because he does amazing things with the ball.
It ain't our fault. It's a dirty play though.
It's a dirty play. Not on the scale of like the dirtiest thing in the world.
Not like you should be kicked out of the sport or the league. I mean, he didn't two-foot somebody in the chest.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's a dirty play. And to be honest, something should happen.
Yeah, there should be some consequence. There should be some repercussions
for sure.
But regardless of that,
can I ask you the question?
Go.
If you were in a room full of Colombian women of all ages, right? Some of them much older. Some of them
fetuses.
Yeah, some of them very young. they're not included. Everyone 18 and over. There was a group of Colombian women sitting behind me, and they were all going nuts for the same player. Two players actually. One of them did not take part in this whatsoever, played for neither of those teams. He actually plays for NYCFC right now, David Villa.
Okay.
They were going ballistic for him. Oh, my God, he's so cute, papi, like that. But not that kind. They don't speak that way, but you get what I'm saying. But one of the players on Real Madrid, I will give you three chances to guess who.
If you give me chances, I'm assuming it's not Ronaldo because it would be.
Is that one of your choices?
No.
Okay, then it's not.
Who would be on Real Madrid?
On Real Madrid.
I'm going to say, Sergio Ramos might be one.
Nope. They all were going nuts for one player.
Carvajal?
Nope. You're close, though.
Isco?
No.
Oh, who?
Asensio.
Oh, Asensio is he's a good looking guy.
They were going nuts.
Yeah, but he didn't start the game.
No,
that's why I didn't think of it. Yeah,
but they were talking about him before he showed up.
Which is
they knew the team. They knew subs because of how cute the dude was, and they're going nuts. And my wife's like, "Why are they flipping out for this play?" I'm like, "I got to be honest, I can't even picture his face right now."
Yeah,
and then once he came on, I'm like, "All right, he couldn't even be the lead in a telenovela."
No, I think he probably could. He looks. I sometimes get Asensio, Marco Asensio, and Isco confused.
Isco, yeah, very much so.
Because they play. Do they play the same position? I don't even know. But they Asensio looks like Isco without the beard and mustache. You know what I mean? They look fairly. He looks like a younger version of Isco.
I mean, he just looks like a generic Spaniard.
What is a generic Spaniard exactly?
I mean, with the beard, he kind of looks like, you know, he hung out in Turkey for a little bit.
The vacations.
He has like a little Turkishness to him.
Sure. But whatever.
I mean, statuesque. I mean, look, great jawline. All right. I get it.
I mean, look, this is what this show is about. All right. You know,
you think we out here talking trash about female? No, not the female. No, no, no,
no, no, no.
We are going to break down the visual appeal of all male soccer players.
Male, female, trans, we don't
Everybody
care. We're talking about
it.
You.
Yes.
All right? All right?
You know, if you cute, you we cute. Bring it up.
You cute? That's it. That's the only prejudice we have.
No, that's it. If you ain't cute, we ain't talking about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, if you ain't hearing your name,
Oh, maybe you ain't that cute.
Yeah, maybe you need to work on that. Maybe you need to hang out with Asensio. Dude's on the bench, but he's getting something, right? If you got a room full of Colombian women.
And you got to be pretty cute for a room full of Colombian women when you're not even playing to be like, yo, where's Asensio? He's not cute.
I mean, why don't you start him?
Yo, Zidane, like, I mean, you got one of the cutest players playing in world football, and you're just going to sit him down?
It's like, damn, Zizou. By the way, the kid's name is Mia, named after Mia Hamm. They're huge soccer fans. And they have a son. And they the father tried to get the son to be named Zizou.
Zizou is a different
Zizou. Zizou.
Zizou, I'm sure, is a name out like, you know, yeah. in like Uzbekistan.
Yeah, like, yes, hello. Which one of us eight Zizous did you call?
So yeah, it was a so the game itself was exciting and super entertaining. The one concern I think the one thing that was like a shot, yeah, just what I was saying before, like I wish the game would have left being with, you know, like I wish Real Madrid would have won and won their third consecutive Champions League as opposed to Liverpool handing it to them and literally
handing it to them.
And look, and let's just talk about very quickly that the first goal that Karim Benzema scored. Just
some people think it's actually against the rules.
So, okay.
The letter of the law is that you're not allowed to interrupt the progress or the process of getting rid of the ball.
Yeah.
Which to some degree he did.
Yeah, but I felt like he was.
I feel like Liverpool fans are agreeing with me no matter what I say.
I feel like he was a fair distance away that he really wasn't interfering.
There's no reason why Carrius let go of it. He could have waited. He could have done one of those dribble things.
Yeah, because he was making a motion like with distance of like you know, he didn't give me enough space or something like that. And when you see the replay, I mean, Benzema seems to be about like 3-4 feet away from Karius. So
it seems the whole thing seemed off. I expected that goal wasn't going to count. I expected that we were going to see, or at least hear a whistle. Maybe not a yellow, but you know, I'm like, where? What happened? That can't be the goal. And as it trickled in, no one really went for it. Like, it just seemed like, well, don't worry about it. This isn't going to count. Why is there confetti in the air? You know, like,
just crazy. I feel bad for Karius. And there were a lot of, it was funny because JB, our friend Gunnar Punter, at Gunnar Punter on Twitter, who's super funny, he retweeted a tweet of a bunch of screen caps from Liverpool fans being like, die, Karius. Like, yeah, I hope
they
you
were
get cancer. And like, going crazy. And then somebody collected all the screen caps and put the tweet, you never walk alone, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe now you do. Certainly don't walk alone home or to your car.
Just a shame. Look, and what are you going to do? We have bad games. He had two monumental mistakes that will never be forgotten. Hopefully, he can continue his career. Doesn't look like it's going to be a Liverpool. I don't know how you go back.
You can't go back to that. I mean, I don't know how. I don't know what you have to do to win that fan base back after that.
No one does. Yeah, so a shame, but congratulations, Real Madrid. And now there are Cristiano Ronaldo put out some rumors, essentially by his vague answers.
No, he said it was great playing at Real Madrid. The dude's done.
Yeah, it's almost like if your girlfriend said like, "How's your relationship going?" Like, well, it was great. This relationship was great.
It was a great one. What?
Wait, are we staying together?
Well, I'm right here. No. I'm the one who asked you.
This is a very, you answered that very strangely.
I'm not gonna lie to you. You don't give me a lot of confidence.
You can't,
in the way you answer.
I gotta
that.
Say, I'm a little unsettled right now with what my future is going to look like.
I mean, from the way you're speaking, it seems like, are we done or were we done? Which one did I miss out, or am I watching it happen?
So it was. I think this leaves room for you know, the Miami Freedom possibly. So Ronaldo might not be going back to Real Madrid. I don't know why he. I don't know why he wouldn't, I guess. I mean, it's just like, if you just want more and more success, maybe he just wants a different change of pace, maybe a different scenery.
Come to MLS, buddy. Your legs are done.
Your legs are done. Come retire here, buddy.
You look slow as shit. I know what I say, all right? I know that we say the MLS is not that anymore, or I'm sorry, MLS is not that anymore, But come on over, buddy.
It'd be great. Just
get that in sync haircut of yours out here. Frosted tips. Come on,
so,
man.
Let's talk about some other, a couple quick things. But this happened, and I just want to get your reaction to it, because there's some we posted it on Twitter, and it got a little bit people were getting upset with TMZ because of this,
as they should be.
And it was interesting because I had posted it and people were like, here's this another Guerrerian, look, he's, and I'm like, no guys, it's me actually. Yeah. Upset.
Also, you can tell you, because you took the ultimate high road.
Yes.
You said ignorance is a choice. I don't speak that way. Well, first of all, mine would have had a lot more all caps.
Well, I was making the joke because the same guy who from TMZ after Kanye was on.
That's the dude who spoke to Kanye in a very
and he was
cool
like
way.
Slavery is not a choice, and it was disappointing, you know. I can't believe you said that, that's very disappointing. So I'm saying they were shitting on MLS
weren't shitting on MLS, they were talking about MLS as if they knew what they were talking about. And it's very clear they didn't, and it annoyed the piss out of me. But you found it before I did, which is why you posted it. Because if I would have found it, it would have been like 30 tweets. I was furious, but I couldn't, from Cooligans, I couldn't interject now, because they're like, when did they become so angry all of a sudden? It just didn't feel right. So I kind of just sat back and watched it happen.
So,
but it's three guys. It's the dude with the dreads, a white guy, and the dude who spoke to Kanye, who I can't remember his name now. But they do this thing where, like,
Can I just play it? It's 1 minute and 15 seconds. We may not get through the whole thing because it is pretty rough.
It's pretty brutal.
So let me just play it for you guys. So if you didn't hear it or see it on our Twitter account, here it is.
Wayne Rooney is here. He's talking. What does this mean for American soccer?
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Right.
He did it recently.
LA before those
FC.
Two guys.
I just want to know, when are they going to get a player in his prime? The MLS needs to draw one player. Look, it's great to have Rooney. It's great to have Zlatan.
Zlatan.
You know, they did it. It started with Beckham, but actually, this goes way back. This starts with Pele.
Yeah, way back in
Pele,
the day.
Pele, when they got him, was in not 70s. In his prime.
So you think Wayne Rooney is too old at this point for this to matter to soccer fans in the United States?
Even though he's out of his prime, he's still going to be better than probably everybody in America.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Except for Ibrahimovic, is another guy that's not.
Except for the other European
players. But what you're saying is basically, and it's a fair point, that if
fair
we got
point.
Like a Neymar or a Suarez.
Right, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo,
yes,
one of those
get a
guys.
Ronaldo over here.
You know how much?
Who's definitely in his prime?
Let's get together $2 billion, because that's how much money it would take. Listen, man.
All right. So
why
whatever.
I mean,
yeah.
Yo, I wish Rooney. Rooney's better than everyone in America. He's probably better than the three of you at your jobs. Y'all are trash.
That was the worst of all takes. And my issue was, why talk about this at all? You don't know what you're talking about.
How did this come up?
Why?
On their radar.
It came up because in the video, you see it's Wayne Rooney at the airport arriving in Washington, D.C.
TMZ must have taken the photos of him showing up.
Yes. Yes. So they're talking about it because maybe they feel obligated to talk about it. Because obviously in Europe, I'm sure there's people who care that he's arriving, but to welcome him to some trash ass takes about, you don't even know what you're talking about. They're like, what? They're like, oh, if MLS, all they need is just stop getting these old guys. And it's like, there's like 60 young guys, and there's plenty of young talent.
But they don't even know. Like, get someone in their prime, like a Ronaldo, or even when Pele joined MLS. Remember that?
Yeah,
oh
that
my
was
God.
What a great year that
I
was.
I can't believe they let him go out there with his walker. What a beautiful gesture. You dumb fucks. You dumb fucks. Why are you talking about this sport? Also, why are you pretending to know about this sport? Maybe bring it up. Oh, it looks like this player is coming here. You might not know about him, but he's a big name, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we're getting these players too old. That would have been fine. But you think MLS fans are going to be happy about this?
What do you know about MLS fans?
Well, me and my MLS fan group chat never roll in. Y'all don't know shit. This is why we don't talk about Kardashian, goings on this podcast.
Because
you stay in your lane.
Yeah.
And we'll stay in ours.
All we talk about is how cute players are.
That's perfectly fine.
That's allowed, all right? We are skilled in that.
We watch these players in slow motion sweat week to week. That we can talk about.
4K, homie.
But we don't know what actress is dating what actor because we don't give a fuck. That's your lane. You go bother Shaquille O'Neal as he's coming out of a hotel room. We'll figure out if players coming to MLS are too young or too old. How about that?
Just it really the nerve. That's why I'm like the nerve. And you can tell that this story was put on in the production meeting. They're like, hey, we got to talk about Wayne Rooney. They're like, who? What? Yeah. What is this? Why do we got to talk about this? And then as they're talking about it, you can they're talking about it with such disdain. They're like, why? You can feel it. They're like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to fill this 90-second segment with words. Let me talk about the four soccer players I've ever heard of. And then let's see if anybody's going to notice.
It infuriated me because you can tell they don't know. And you can tell they're like, well, if we talk about this, we'll get hits. How did you make a clickbait video? And here's the other thing that pisses me off. The three of you are in the same office. Why do you have three different shots? Y'all can't get out of your cubicles to film this stupid video for 1 second? Y'all gotta have three GoPros? It's annoying as hell, and y'all don't know what the fuck you're saying. Stay out of our business. And yeah. I mean, look, I get that we're supposed to be letting people talk about it, and we want people to do this. We want people to get in there and talk about it. And I'm fine with that if they say, look, we're not huge soccer fans, but it looks like this is a big deal. Some people are saying he's a little too old. Now I'm all right. But yo, you come in here and you try to act like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You make us look bad.
Yeah.
We already get it enough from every other fan in the world. Our own people got to be doing this to us. You know what y'all did? Y'all Kanye'd this whole situation.
Totally.
You Kanye'd the MLS.
You made a scene, right? And we're the ones that have to stand up and get up out of our cubicles and put you in your place.
Yeah.
Okay? You are a disappointment.
You
right.
are a disappointment. And from the pulpit and the way you can speak, from the ability you have and the audience you have,
yeah,
you made us all look bad.
Yeah. Boom. Done.
Done.
Roast
finished. There you go.
Roasted. All right. So look, we just had to get that off our chest. A couple other things. FC Cincinnati, we're recording this on Tuesday. The announcement should be out that they will be the next MLS franchise.
Yeah, I think Don Garber's on his way to Cincinnati, so that could only mean one thing. He either really loves chili on the pasta.
Or imagine he's like, I got to go book a flight to deliver bad news.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm saying it right to their face.
I break up face to face. Yeah. I don't text nobody.
Everybody gather in a room. I'm going to walk in and just, yeah, you got Garber.
In a cloud of smoke. So that might be happening soon. A couple
shouts to them if they do. Word is that their logo, their sponsor, their shirt sponsorship, which is a health company, will be the largest, comparable to Atlanta United's.
Okay. I also do know that the team sponsor, their kits are made by Nike, so that they'll have to drop that. And yeah,
they're going
the check.
Going to Adidas.
Then I got to go to Adidas.
You can't wear them clothes around here, cuz.
I said, you want to be a made man? You got to.
Come on, son.
You got to get on the, you
don't
know.
Show up in that suit ever again.
The U.S. also.
Bolivia?
Play Bolivia.
The kids look good.
The kids are all right, as everybody's I've been saying. And it was entertaining. I watched this game, and it was exciting to see. Yeah, honestly, for me, Timothy Weah, who I've watched a couple PSG games, and he's gotten some minutes, and
he looks great.
Seeing a guy, you know, be able to play with Cavani, aka Justin Hawk, and and then knowing that he's gonna be playing on, you know, on our men's national team, it's just great to see. And he got his first goal for the
Zimmerman
men's national team.
Good.
Walker Zimmerman scores.
Sergeant.
Just Sergeant doing
the Benzema.
Do the Benzema.
Hey.
The Bolivian goalkeeper clearly did not watch the Champions League final.
Let's also say we were playing against Bolivia. Some of these players look like they were way out of position.
Sure.
There were moments where I'm like, I don't think they've ever played this sport before. There's a lot of good players, though. There's a couple players that are on MLS teams.
The Bolivian players.
Yeah, Bolivian players. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's a couple good ones out there.
When I was watching the game, I know they say, like, play the kids for the U.S. team, but I feel like The Bolivian team played the toddlers. They felt they looked very, very young.
Very young. And you know who is a kid but doesn't look young at all? Keaton Parks. What has that boy seen in his life?
he has the Barco disease, where he's just like an old, young old man.
Keaton Parks looks like a detective who's retiring in 2 years. What happened to that guy?
Been through a lot, you know?
Yo, what's happening at Benfica?
But it's good to see that they played well. It was important that they won, right? Because if they were playing against, you know, Bolivia and Herzegovina, it might have been a different result, right? So I'm glad
it's another country, Bolivia and Herzegovina. You've all seen it on the map. Everyone has a globe at home, right?
Because we know how the other Bosnia and Herzegovina
Google it.
Game went. But it was entertaining, and a lot of people.
But the kids played better against Bolivia than the adults played against Trinidad and Tobago. So
there was a lot. The tweet storm was definitely about like, yo, this team would have won in Trinidad.
100%. 100.
100%. So a couple other things that before we get to our interview.
Another slap. Talk about that.
So yeah, look,
this one was a vicious slap.
We won't have too much time to talk about.
Yeah, we got a big interview, so we can't go over all the games this week.
Yeah, but
if you guys are really into it, maybe we'll do like an Instagram live and go over what we thought of some of the games.
Maybe we'll make some time. So a couple things that happened in a couple games. First, let's talk about the Samuel Armenteros, the Portland Timbers forward.
He is taking over that team.
There's another 99 on the block.
Yeah,
right?
Wow.
So Armenteros coming for,
Armenteros
for the
like,
two nines.
Who has the crown? I want it. With the John Strong haircut, too.
Yeah, right? So, Armenteros scored
he only scores worldies.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It. That dude's never going to have an easy
one
easy
of the
score.
Better goals I've ever seen in MLS. I mean, you usually don't get to
That's the world. That's a worldie.
Okay.
Let's not say that was the best we've ever seen in MLS. That's the best we've seen ever in a few, not the best. That's one of.
Okay, that's fair. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Right. I know, you know, some Europeans listening to this are like, what did he say? Anything positive about Major League Soccer? No, thank you.
Don't you dare!
How dare you? So, but the goal was incredible. We also have to point out we talked about this last week, 2 weeks ago. Tim Howard is checked out. I don't know if it's the back line. I don't know if he is not talking to his center backs. I don't know if there's a complete lack of communication with
him. He's Sunday leaguing right now.
He looks uninterested. There was a goal, one of the goals that he gave up where he slapped the ball away and to just a perfectly fine header to like a Timbers player. I'm like, the dude seems completely out of focus, seems uninterested. And this is not fair.
It's not fair to make him play on Colorado. This is not his fault.
You don't think it's his fault?
No.
I think it's partly his fault.
I get that he's checked out, but yo, is anyone else checked in?
Yeah, maybe it's I don't know. I can't tell if it's a team issue or if it's a Tim Howard issue. That's my,
Tim
Howard issue.
Tim Howard is one of the issues on that team.
Yeah.
He deserves none of the blame.
It's looking bad. And
what's he supposed to play the way he did against Belgium every week?
That'd be cool.
In MLS?
That'd be really nice.
It's not fair.
It'd be nice if he did that.
It's not fair. It's not fair to him.
But the goal from Armenteros was pretty incredible.
I mean,
and there was the comparison of the Dennis Bergkamp goal, which I had. I posted it on Twitter, right?
But he also had... He also had like another. He had the dope header, and he also had the assist on Valeri's goal. Armenteros is doing it all.
Yeah, and now the concern is like, should he be starting over Adi?
Yes,
he's the hot foot.
A lot of people are saying I'd love to see him and Adi start together, which is like the safe. That's the Portland way to hedge your bet right there. I can't be mean if I say both of them at the same time.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because we see. With Zlatan and Ola Kamara, and they're having a rough time playing together, right?
Yeah.
And then in the last two games, when Zlatan was red carded, and the game that the following game match that he missed, what happened? LA Galaxy won both of those games.
Yeah.
So now we're asking the question: do we need Zlatan in this lineup to begin with?
No, you don't. And yes, you're better with Armenteros versus Adi.
And there were also
by the way, trade Adi. Go get your money's worth. You got Armenteros now. You good, son?
Wow, that's a bold statement. I don't know how John Strong will feel about
Yachty's on the trade block. We've been calling it for weeks, and now he's on the trading block. So come on, son.
Okay. So
listen to me.
There were a couple other controversial moments in a couple other games, but this game was nil-nil. But Sporting Kansas City against Colorado. Against Columbus.
I think Sporting Kansas City was listening to like reggae, like hardcore dancehall reggae in the locker room because someone came out and slapped somebody, and that's some shit. That like, yo, they were like listening to a Jamaican woman complain about her boyfriend, and he was like, he was so amped up. He's like, yo, I will slap somebody.
So it really was. Look, and more the controversy is not even the slap in itself from Christian Martinez, but there were two calls, right? There was a red card issued to Federico Higuain, and then there was the slap on Cinovic by Martinez. But the issue with the Higuain goal, and the reason it got a little bit more attention than usual, was because a couple other players chimed in about video review, right? When Higuain made the challenge, which some people didn't think was a red card,
Studs up.
I mean,
didn't get the player. Done.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to, what's the dude over? I think it was Philly? Somebody, Markovic, something like that. Somebody got a red card for studs up. Didn't get the ball at all.
I don't remember. But watching it, the main issue that people had a problem with.
LAFC, by the way.
Was the fact that the referee didn't call anything at the time. And he was at a bad angle. He probably couldn't see it. But I know Michael Parkhurst was frustrated with the fact, like, why didn't the referee make a call?
Yeah.
Why let something like that just go? So it's more, this is what it's raising. And the same thing with the slap on Cinovic, that people are suggesting, and I kind of feel this way too, that the referees are relying too much on video review and not calling things on the field because they know that they have, that the eye is watching. And
I don't know, it's that they know and they feel like, well, we'll just get it on video. I think it's that they're afraid to make a bad call. And I think maybe this counts against them career wise.
Yeah.
If the VAR overturns their call. But now it's like that big brother effect of like, well, then don't do anything because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah. It is. It's affecting how matches are refereed, and I think how the game is played. And I've for the most part in when video review was introduced, I felt fine. I was like, it was introduced in the middle of the year.
Well, yeah, this is, but like we were okay with it, even though some people feared that this might happen. Not specifically this, but like, oh, they're going to call it differently because there's always a chance they could just go watch the video. And to some degree, those guys are right.
Yeah, that is definitively happening, and it's very much affecting how the game feels. I think as a player, as a viewer, the issues with inconsistency. It was the first time I was on the, you know, get rid of VAR until it's fixed, which is like probably not going to happen. But watching these games and seeing how some of these calls are made or non calls are made, like how does nothing happen to Christian Martinez? There was no call.
There's going to be disciplinary shit to happen after this. He's probably going to miss a couple games.
But video review is built in and made for things like if they see something like that. Say something, right?
Yeah.
Say something to the ref. The MTA has it, you know.
Yeah. See some, say some. By the way, I don't want to pile on NFL, but I guarantee you he misses more games than an NFL player would if he did what he did to Sinovich, if an NFL player did that to his wife. So, and both got caught on video.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, it happened to Ray Rice, so we know.
That's what I'm trying to talk about.
So,
without getting sued.
It's fair to say like it's absurd, right? That
yeah.
That he didn't, that the video review didn't even come into play, and there was no penalty or consequence for Martin for straight up. I mean, he cocked his arm back. He went
all the way back.
He went in.
Elbow came first. Yeah,
definitely. It was a Real Housewives of any city slap.
But this was like a Real Housewife who they're related. You know what I mean? Like this shit is deep. Like something happened between these two back in the day. I don't know what.
It was bad. So like when we're seeing games refereed in that manner, then you're like, all right, well, is the referee even in control? It's right. a video you, referee even right. in some control.
Do you know this is happening?
I think
we see it.
Without video review, it requires a referee to be a bit more confident and strong in every call that they make, the way they communicate with players. There's like this main authority that affects how you referee the game. Just the fact that you are omnipotent to some extent.
And also you need to say like, this is how I'm going to call this game, and that's it. Like, yes, this is a foul. No, that's not. Same thing with balls and strikes. Everyone has their own zone in baseball. It's up to the official to call it.
And
a
I think
way.
Video
I
review
like that's what we should be doing.
And I think video review is muddying those waters of like how referees know how to do their job and like and like the strategy. I'm like, because it's such a psychological game, because you have to communicate with players. You have to tell them.
So players need to know that, I'm going to call this. No, I'm not going to call that. You can't just, all of a sudden be like, nah, that's not a foul today.
Yeah, it's a shame. So, I mean, what are you going to do? There were a couple. It's week after week where it's happening a little too much, where it's getting to the point where it's actually affecting how I enjoy watching the game. So just a tad disappointing. So, like I said, a couple interesting results. NYCFC, I know.
Lost to Houston.
They lost to Houston, and that game was.
Why are we even talking about it?
Well, we're talking about it.
Vieira is on his way to Nice.
Which is
and by the way, a lot of people in the league were brigetting this week. Kai Kamara brigetted twice. Brigetted, which was incredible. I wrote a couple more down here. Miram brigetted, even though he tried to Tommy Mac, he got brigetted. A lot of people brigetting out there. But no one brigetted more than Brigette, my friend.
Yeah, I was really disappointing. NYCFC probably should have gotten a result out of this. And they, Villa's goal was, oh my God, it was incredible, man. It's just like once in a while, you see why he is who he is and why he's in this league. And the fact that he can nail strikes like that, it's a blessing to get to just see shots like that. And so it was incredible. But Brigette, one-on-one.
I mean, what did you expect from Brigette? You thought he was going to score?
It really is.
What, do you work for TMZ?
I mean, maybe he's old and he should be retiring. I don't know. Brigette's like, he's like 26.
Go start their own team? He got a beard. Send him to Colorado. Done.
So tough result for NYCFC.
TFC losing again. Seattle, least goal scored in the league.
They're having
what is happening in Seattle? We love you, Seattle. What's happening out there?
Chicago and Orlando had a great game.
Kitai with a monster free kick.
But the boy, Alan Gordon,
does what he does.
And doing it from outside the box this time.
Also, don't you dare put him in before the 90th minute. Just don't, because that's when that boy turns on.
He scored that one earlier than usual. It was around the 80th.
No, like, it was like, I think it was like 91st minute.
No, it wasn't that late. No, it was. Sure? I saw the game. It was like the 80th. It was like around 80th, 81st.
That's not fair.
Yeah, I was just like, yo, who scored that? Nah, man.
I think they announced it with 10 minutes left in the game.
Opta's wrong. You know, something's wrong. So they made a mistake.
Oh, that's what I mean. I meant 80th, by the way. I said 90th. I meant 80th. All right.
Okay, sure. I mean, at least the listeners.
I wasn't wrong.
Every listener knew that.
100%. Well, when I say numbers, you guys know not to pay attention. Numbers and names.
So, Rebels and Philly, 0-0 draw. Vancouver and England. Vancouver can't.
Teixeira with a hat trick, and you still, by the way, Kai Kamara, wild.
Yes, I saw this.
Completely open goal. How did he send it back the other way? He Latif Blessing.
You did.
He Brigetted and Blessing at the same time.
He Latifed harder than Latif did, without a doubt.
Even Latif was like, damn, son, don't take my shot.
It was a Breck Shea slow shot, but he Latifed it.
Wow.
He Latifed the Breck.
And the whole thing was Brigetting. You Brigetted while Latifing a Breck.
So there's a whole new slew of verbs.
I hope everybody brought notebooks to this podcast.
All right, so do your homework, because there will be a quiz.
Yeah, 100%. I've never seen someone Latif a Breck while Brigetting. It was incredible.
MLS was entertaining.
There's a lot of games. There's a lot of cool games. If you really want us to break them all down, let us know. We'll do an Instagram live.
Yeah.
But we got a huge
interview. Have to absolutely get to. John Strong and Stu Holden of Fox Sports. They're going to Russia.
They are part of Mueller's investigation.
No, they're not.
Isn't it Mueller? Is it Mueller?
I think it's Thomas Mueller. That's the only Mueller that's involved.
Thomas Mueller and Joachim Lowe are going to be investigating how easy it is going to be for them to win the World Cup. But they're going to the World Cup. They're going to be representing America out there because none of our players can do it. And it's an absolute honor for us to be able to interview them on this podcast. So why don't we do that right after this? Hey, we just want to break into your podcast with this little message.
Without giggling,
with
Alexis.
Little message from our very strong and viral customer. Hims, everybody.
Well, we talked about them last month, and they are back.
Maybe you went out and got the product, and now you got a lot more hair and your dick work. But if it still don't,
that's why we're here, and that's why you listen to this podcast.
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe your hair's real stiff,
and
your balls are hairy. We don't know how to talk about serious situations, guys. Here's what you want. A lot of people suffer this. Look, you don't want to go to the doctor for it. You don't want to be known for going to the doctor for this. You don't want to go get those pills at the pharmacy. You reach out to Hims. Go to 4hims.com. They're going to send you this stuff discreetly. It's going to help you out with your hair loss. It's going to help you out with your erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
I said that without giggling because, it is a very serious issue. And if you want that, you get a percentage off. How much are these guys saving?
Look, if you sign up at 4hims.com/CooligansED.
What?
You can sign up.
Why is that the name?
You can start your subscription just for $5. $5.
$5.
And $5, only $5, and you can start. It'll be like a whole new life. Okay?
It's a whole new life.
You're going to have hair. Ladies are going to be like, yo, I love the hair. I also love what's going on downstairs.
Yo, you already? Wow.
Wow.
All I did was touch all your beautiful new hair. And now you are at full salute, my good man.
So there's a lot of people suffer from this stuff. And look, and with Hims, you're going to be dealing with real doctors.
Real people.
Okay, real people that are medical consultants that will help you with real medicine.
Absolutely.
So make sure, go to 4hims.
Yeah, this isn't like, we're not like shipping this from China, yo. This is like real doctors. you're not Skyping with an intern. Real doctors are going to help you out. If this is a problem for you, all jokes aside, why not go get it treated? Both of these, you can get help now. So go to 4hims.com/CooligansED.
That is
perfect.
We can't forget that promo code.
No, neither can our significant others. So go to 4hims.com/CooligansED. You're going to start your plan for $5 only. Get that hair right. Get that dick right. 4hims.com/CooligansED.
Hi, this is Mike Coscarelli from Anxiety Now.
And Andrea Allen from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
We just launched the brand new OG Podcast Network and wanted to let you know that you can hear ours and other great shows by going to OGPodcastNetwork.com.
Also, be sure to follow the network on social media to keep up to date with new shows, videos, and live events.
That's at OG Podcasts on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Or you can subscribe to your favorite OG podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back!
Welcome back!
And come on! Huh?
Not only am I excited, part of me feels like I shouldn't be allowed to be among such like almost like soccer royalty.
Well, I told you could be around me whenever you want. Okay, you don't have to talk about me.
But outside of you, I'm.
Oh, you mean these guys?
These guys. Okay. I'm so excited that they're here. Not only am I just a fans of them. I mean, they really are starting to become the voice of America. American soccer for both of them. So please, everyone, welcome to the show of Fox Sports. The men that are on their way to Russia, and it has nothing to do with collusion.
They're gonna go mess up their election. Ladies and gentlemen, they can't make eye contact because they work for Fox. I always said that. Put your hands together for Stu Holden and John Strong, everybody.
John and Stu. Thank you.
You're gonna say Robin Alexi there for a second.
It's John Strong's first appearance on the Cooligans.
This is the first Cooligans.
He's pretty excited
that, yeah,
mostly to get revenge on when I roasted him last time.
I'll pick my moment. I'll pick my moment. Don't worry.
I'm not going to put it all on Stu. I think we all kind of had a little fun. So the last time when we met at MLS Cup and we were talking about the call after Michael Bradley scored the goal against Mexico at the Azteca. And we had a little fun because John Strong's voice reached the
peak. You didn't know I had that range.
We
know.
But also, now that you're here, we want to congratulate you on reaching, what's that called when you're a teen?
Puberty.
Puberty.
Wow. I can finish your punchline for you today if you need. That's fine.
I swear. I was going to say bot mitzvah, but I'm like, that does not sound right.
You're 0 for 2 on that one. Yeah.
So, yeah, we did make a couple jokes at your expense, and you weren't there to really defend yourself.
Which is the way we like to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not surprised.
But can we also clarify that we ended it saying it was an epic goal call?
I will say this. I am as embarrassed by that call as by any I've done. I can give you a 10-minute explanation of exactly why it happened. However, in saying that, I got more positive feedback from people for that than maybe for anything else I've done. I mean, even I got an email from Arlo the next day. Dude, that was epic. You know, so that's the irony, is sometimes the things that we're like, oh my gosh, that was the worst ever, people seem to love. So that's where I've learned to enjoy it and embrace it. And that was like 4 years ago, wasn't it, by the way?
Was it really? It feels like it.
Can we
remember that time we didn't
years moving forward?
Remember that time we didn't qualify for the World Cup?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Wasn't on our watch. They got results in the games that we did.
They did, yeah.
You make a good point, though, because, like, perfection is boring. You know what I mean? If you get it right every time, that doesn't really do anything. That doesn't.
It's why I'm the most entertaining broadcaster.
But the
lack of perfection.
Yeah, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we played in the NYCFC. They had a 24-hour marathon game.
I remember that.
And we played, and I scored a goal.
I wasn't going to score. I'm not a soccer player. So you may look at me and think I'm a soccer player, but I'll be honest with you.
You didn't
want
to steal the glory from the other people, though. That's very egalitarian.
I actually did, because I said, as soon as he scores, I'm going to celebrate. And what I did is, as a fat guy, you got to do something big, right? So I put a sandwich in my back pocket, and I took it out during the goal celebration.
Nice.
And I ate the sandwich. And then all the cameras switched to me instantly. Everyone's like, over here. So I had to keep biting the sandwich. And the game kept going. And they're like, hurry up. I'm like, no, this is a bad game, guys. I'm going to die.
So the point is, far from perfection. That's all I'm trying to say.
My technique was perfect for sandwiching.
All right. So let's get started with the fact, like, you guys, both of you guys are going to the World Cup. Both of you have not been to the World Cup before.
A men's World Cup.
The men's World Cup.
As a broadcaster.
Not as a broadcaster,
World
correct.
Cup. Women's World Cup.
Is there any anxiety, nervousness about...
Yes.
Okay.
The honest answer is that from the turn of the year, I would have daily, not an anxiety attack, but like a rush of genuine anxiety. And in the last couple of weeks, it has shifted, and I'm not sure how or why, but it shifted to more excitement. But 100%, I mean, listen, this is the biggest thing that I could possibly do as a soccer broadcaster is call a World Cup. So you're darn right that I'm going to have nerves and anxiety and all these things. So what I've tried to do is turn that around to now just, you know, enjoy it, embrace it, have some fun. Don't let it get to me, because he's experienced this next to me. I have let the anxiety and the nerves of big games or big tournaments get to me in a bad way in the last couple of years. And so that's one of the big things I've actually worked on, is trying to get myself in a better mental place for the sake of, you know, this is climbing Mount Everest for me. This is terrifying and exhilarating at the same time. So trying to have more the exhilarating side of it and less the terrifying side.
People don't think about that. You know, most people think of, like, the stress the players are under, the stress the coaches are under. People don't think about the commentators. You know, they don't think about the color commentators and everyone else.
And not that anyone, I mean, listen, you don't need to have sympathy for me. This is the greatest thing I get to do. It's amazing. But absolutely, as someone who has spent my entire life wanting to be a broadcaster, someone who spent my entire life as a soccer fan, getting to call a World Cup is the greatest thing I could possibly be doing. So there's absolutely going to be an emotional reaction there. As I said, that's the trick, is to be able to just put all that aside and realize, oh my God, what an incredibly fun, special opportunity I get to have. And I get to do it with one of my best friends, and I get to have a friend of mine that I've known since middle school. He'll be on my right. Eric, my friend since middle school, will be on my left. Shaw, who's been my producer for 6 years now, is behind me. Like, I have these great people around me.
So there go all the nerves now. Now they're all gone.
And I'll drink a little bit before each game. It'll be
great.
That's
perfect.
It's interesting, because, like, usually with this large of a platform, like, the players usually use that opportunity to kind of be more expressive and do things, and because they know it's like a bigger stage. So, like, I would love
sandwich
to see,
eating. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see John Strong with, like, a Pogba design in his hair. Yeah. Like,
maybe we'll on the see. Opening segment of our first game, you can pull
can
out
I grow a
sandwich
rat tail in the next 2 weeks. How does that work?
Please, that would be awesome.
And Stu, what is it's your take on how do you? I don't know if you feel similarly to John.
Yeah, going on the other side of the camera, if you will.
I think having had my experience as a player and having played in the World Cup to, you know, those nerves going into doing that, it took me a while to experience that same kind of the butterflies, I think, from doing broadcasting. But it wasn't until I remember it was the US-Mexico game, the one in the Rose Bowl that we did. It was kind of my first big game that I had done, and we're about to go on camera, and I had this the butterflies back, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of nervous right now. Like, it felt like a big moment. And that's why I say I love this job, because it does provide that rush that you got from playing. It's never going to replicate playing, but I think in many senses, I haven't felt that same type of nerves towards the World Cup, because we've had about 300 games in the last, you know, year and a half in the lead up to it. I don't think that will be for me until I get there. I don't, just the way I operate, I don't think about stuff that far ahead of time. It's not till I think probably you're going to go on camera for the first time in Russia for our first game, where I'm going to be like, oh, this is the World Cup. And you feel the energy. And that's what I always fed off of as a player, was feeling the energy in the crowd and teammates. And that's what I loved the most. That's what made me perform at my best. So I think when I get in those situations, it kind of that instinct kicks in of what I've done my entire career. So to say I'm not nervous is a complete lie. But to say that I've been thinking about this for the last 2 years of what this is going to be right now, I definitely haven't.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody tries to two-foot you, it's this guy.
If Johnny Evans comes out of the tribunal, I mean, then I might get a panic attack.
You know, when you played, you were probably quarantined for much of the World Cup, and, you know, you guys are kept solo and separate from everyone and trying to stay focused. Are you, now that you guys are, you know, calling the game, are you going to have a little bit more freedom? Are you going to be able to go out and experience Russia?
Absolutely not. We'll experience Russia in a different way. Actually, John said it earlier today, so I'm just going to steal his line. But we legit, for the group stages of the tournament, we are going to be either at a game, traveling towards a game, or preparing for a game. I mean, there's going to be no rest for us at all in the group stage. I mean, we'll be doing something every single day during that period. So we won't really get to experience Russia. And you're right, in South Africa, we were legitimately in a compound that we didn't leave for 6 weeks, and you didn't get out. You went with security. The one day we went to go golfing, we had a Secret Service team that would have to scour the hole before we would play it, and then we would play the hole, and then they would do the next hole to make sure that, you know, we were safe there. It seemed very ridiculous. And one Secret Serviceman, I will tell you, did get the job of being the beer cart guy.
Very nice.
Good. We were allowed to just relax with a couple beers, and he was the guy that was like, "Hey, we need a beer."
Place your guesses on who was part of this foursome later.
Yeah. Is there one country you guys are? Do you know what games you're going to call yet?
We do. Okay. Yeah,
we have our group stage schedule, and then obviously the knockout. But we'll be, like you said, we'll be either calling a game or on an airplane or both every single day of the tournament, because I think it's the same thing at the knockout stage, is every day that we physically can be at one of these stadiums based on the logistics of travel, we'll be there.
What are you guys doing, like flashcards, like index cards, and like this player
you post on Twitter occasionally, I think, you like your like
yeah no I've done system. So we're doing 9 games in the group stage. We see Argentina twice, so that's 17 teams. I've done my notes for 7 of them. I did Spain yesterday before the US Bolivia game. I'll do Portugal later today. I'll do, I think, Croatia tomorrow, because they've named 24 players. That's a big part of it, is
I know
teams.
Who's the one guy who's not going to make his
Croatia's easy, just end anything in A.
I've got one right now. Serbian and Croatian names, actually. And that's what's helped us, the teams that have announced their rosters a little bit early. But trying to get that done, because once a tournament starts, you can't prep in between games.
Nah.
So doing the heavy lifting now, working around the margins once you're there. But like he said, the turnaround is quick, the travel. And it's not like it's anyone who travels around the U.S. It's the same thing. It's a 2 to 3 hour airplane ride. There's no pre-check in Russian airports. You know, you have a duffel with you every day. So it can take a whole chunk out of the day, those types of things. So being able to do the work now has been key. And that's what's been tough the last couple of weeks, is you're trying to do your World Cup prep. But we got MLS. We got the Champions League final. We had the U.S. game last night. So now that that's through, it's more of a direct runway now to be able to, by the same token, not lock ourselves away in a bunker and prep, because, you know, we've both got families, we've got kids, you're going to be gone for 40 days. So you try to balance all those things, that once you get there, then it's showtime. But listen, by the same token, though, I would not want to have days off. I'm at a World Cup. I want to be going to these games. You know what I mean? I don't want to be sitting around in Moscow.
That's what we told our bosses.
Yeah. What museum should I visit today? So that's
we said that though, didn't
part.
We? When they did the draw, and we
day before
to our
the
bosses,
draw, I sent an email.
Like, stick us on any possible game we can be on.
For sure. And they did. Don't worry.
Just absolute, just consummate professionals. Because I think we are prepping for this interview right now as we speak.
I'm looking down. Both of your Wikipedias are awesome.
Exactly. Let's go through.
Are you on the pro gamer section for me right now?
I did want to ask just. I'm sure you've gotten a lot of questions about it, but just we haven't gotten sort of like the announcer and commentator perspective on the fact that the United States is the men's national team is not in this World Cup. Is there a bit of bitterness or sadness the fact that you won't be able to be calling games with the U.S. men's national team out there?
Yes,
of course there is. Yeah, I mean, we're both of us. I mean, I remember being up in the middle of the night in 2002. I remember being in a bar on the edge of campus in 2006. I remember hosting a bunch of viewing parties when I was working at the radio station in Portland in 2010. Of course, it's devastating. It was devastating in October. It's even worse now. There's no doubt about that. But this seems like a contradiction, but it's not. By the same token, it does not take away your excitement for the World Cup. You know, and if anything, one of the unintended consequences is that, let's say for the sake of argument, the U.S. was playing on the third day of the tournament. Well, now we don't get to call Portugal against Spain because we got to be in place in that city where the U.S. is playing the day before. So in that regard, we get the best of the World Cup. But of course, that's calling U.S. games at a World Cup is the one chance you get as a soccer announcer to get that sort of Sunday night football type audience. Now, we might still get it by the end of the tournament for the final. Well, I think no one knows exactly how that's going to pan out, but you're upset about it. There's emotions. Of course there is, as fans, but also as someone who loses out slightly on a professional opportunity. And we don't know. Qatar 2022, who knows if I'm going to be there, if he's going to be there, what's going to happen? So
bring your own air conditioner.
But it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, in the winter, it'll be like at least 3 degrees cooler. Yeah.
Only but it doesn't. 127. Wow.
You know, they should bring in the cool again.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Puns always get a clap. Oh, good pun.
This is what I have to deal with.
See, John doesn't normally laugh.
What, gold? Tournament. John, you got to deal with gold, John.
A lot of times he recognizes my jokes and he'll just be like, he won't laugh and he won't even recognize them, acknowledge them half the time. And then I'll go to say it again. He goes, oh no, I heard you. I just chose not to acknowledge
I'll laugh
you.
When you start making jokes. Yeah, you're fine.
You know what's funny? Actually, John is such a consummate professional, which again, we're not. So when you laugh, John, you go off mic or you laugh silently. To not ruin what other person's speaking. No, we're comics. Let it out. Yeah.
That's what I've learned to do is how to breathe and cough and everything else off mic. Yeah,
it's a genius how you do it because I sometimes work with these like radio studios and there's cough buttons and I'm like, what do these do? And I don't realize as I'm talking, I'm hitting the button. Yeah. I'm going in and out. I
mean, I've learned how to breathe without making noise. I don't know if it's. I'd be a great ninja.
Not me. As a fat guy, you hear it all when I breathe. You have to study up, John, on a lot of the names and stuff. You're more of the color commentator, right? You're more of
he
the sort of.
He hasn't done anything.
Right, you don't have to do that.
I don't study at all.
This is our relationship. I'm the guy who kind of does a lot of the preparation.
He shows up. Yeah, that's the number six of Portugal. It's a good player.
I know. Wow, look at what this guy's wearing.
But he's tucked inside. Yeah, he's doing really well on the right. Yeah. I think that's actually the biggest misconception when it comes to analysts in that, you know, the prep that goes into being good, I think, to be able to prepare yourself to do the work ahead of time. Because I know when I've done the work that I need to do the game feels so much easier for me. I know what to expect. I know what I'm looking for. I know why something is happening because of the way that a team has played. So in reality, I find myself watching more soccer than I have in my life. The good thing is I love doing it, and I've always watched the game. You have players that don't watch the game, and as soon as training is done, they go home. They're with their families. They don't turn on soccer for a second. I was the guy that went home and I watched, you know, on a Sunday, I would watch the three games in the Premier League. I would watch then Spanish League, and then I'm watching, you know, MLS at night. You know, I would watch it all day long. So I think that helps, but the amount of prep that goes into that and the amount of hours you spend watching film and doing the, you know, the background on the players. And I try not to get too into the stats and it's good for my context of knowing a player's performance, but I think that's more when John can do his stuff and get in there. And I feel like if I have a great nugget that I want to throw in that I'm probably ruining a times 10 nugget that he has because he would have had that one plus a little bit more and then context of why that happened. Whereas I would have read it in Opta and been like, oh, that's a really good stat for me to have. And then John's like, yeah, but you know, that happened like three other times back in 1995 and 1998. And I'm like, come come on, man. Let me have one.
Of course I knew that, John.
But you don't know what the right back's doing right now.
It's so funny because as comedians, we watch the games the same. We have to kind of do some preparation as well. And I'm always telling him, like, hey, watch this game, and this game. But we're looking for humorous moments. We're, like, constantly analyzing. I'm like, all right, this will be a great joke to bring
formation up. Formation means nothing to us. Score means nothing to us. We're comics, so we're trying to find what's funny in it. But, like, we'll watch the games, and they're like, look at this. You know, the forwards are, like, the wingers are coming up. And I'm like, yeah, but did anyone's pants fall off? Come on. Highlights. Give me the goods.
So I did want to ask, John, because you did you were the announcer for the Portland Timbers for a long time. You
back
covered
in Geldwin, right? When it was called Geldwin?
When it was called PGE Park and PGE Geldwin Park. Field, and it was Civic Stadium when I
was a
kid.
Geldwin door in my house or window,
there
I believe.
Yeah. Nice.
So, just letting you know. Not sponsored element, I swear.
Well, the perks
your
being
Venmo
announced
on your phone today. That's weird.
So we have a lot of Timbers fans who do listen and are big fans of you. What is just your take on this season? I know the start of the season was a little rough, and Gio Savarese had a tough time, but what is it, six-game win streak,
six,
I think?
Yeah.
And you guys had the call on the Armentero goal.
The honestly, it's the same as when Caleb Porter took over in 2013. People sort of forget that they were the first four games they didn't win, and everyone was saying, I don't think this guy can do it. He's never coached professionals before. What's wrong with the team? And they ended up rattling off, I think, 18 games without a loss. It was like the second longest in-season streak in league history that year, and they finished first in the West. So, yes, pressure is good. Intensity is good. And that's something in a market like Portland that you're going to find that you wouldn't find in some other MLS markets where it would just sort of be, you know, a pin dropping in silence. But I think it's also credit to Giovanni Savarese. He put himself on the line a little bit, you know, and he took some risks with guys he was putting on the field, with guys he was taking off the field, the way they were playing. And I think it needed to get going, you know, when it did. They were about reaching the limit of when I think he would have had some issues in that locker room. But that being said, it is still a long season. So they're in a good form now. Can they keep that going? Can they stay healthy? All those things. But it's been nice to see, because I know you work with Savarese at a prior network, we won't say. But he's a great guy. I think he's a great mind, and I'm glad he's having that success. And it's been fun to see some of the other players step up into it. But it is. That's one of the good things about Portland. It's a place that if you're not winning and if the fans don't like what they're seeing, they're going to let you know. And that's something I think we need more of in America.
Yeah, they'll let you know by singing You Are My Sunshine over and over.
Over and
that's
over.
That's how they teach you.
and that's an example, too, because I could have gone into a big, long story of what that means and the significance of it in Timber Jim and the first time back in 2004
it's,
when
Sadia
Foch scored a backheel goal on the final day of the season and that time was I was in the Timbers Army. I was in high school then. You know, so there's a lot of those history to it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, too, because I've thought of this, too. If you created an MLS team in Portland, now let's say Cincinnati was Portland, and you named the team Portland Timbers, and you had a dude with a chainsaw as your mascot, sawing off a log after goals,
after every
and
goal.
You sang You Are My Sunshine in the 80th minute of every game, people would think that was the most ridiculous nonsense, you know, affectation of craziness ever. But the fact that it actually has decades worth of history and roots,
yeah,
it's kind of cool. So I do find that irony. You would never call a team Seattle Sounders or Portland Timbers today. You would 100%, it would be FC Portland or Seattle United or something like that. So those teams are really our relics of even from in the last 5 years, how we view the creation of teams now.
We might get Miami Freedom, which is freaking people out.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I heard their badge is going to be that green smiley emoji that's vomiting. So.
Did I move far away from the microphone so you couldn't hear my reaction? That work?
You also played over at Houston Dynamo. You guys call so many games. You guys focus on so much. You obviously were a big Timbers fan. You obviously played for Houston. Do you get a chance to sort of be fans ever?
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes, but especially when I'm calling a game, I don't ever feel like a fan. And that's one of the things I love about being a broadcaster. And you know you've done your job well when after the game, if you check your Twitter and you have 50% of the people yelling at you for being a Dynamo fan, and the other 50% of the people are yelling at you for being a Portland Timber fan, and they're mad that you talked about their team in this way and this one, and I'm like, perfect, I nailed the sweet spot right down the middle. It means I've been objective on both sides, because otherwise, I mean, you're never going to please everyone first and foremost, and I legitimately do not have an allegiance to a team. I want the Dynamo to do well. When I'm calling their game, would I like to see them advance? Probably, but I'm not going to favor towards them, so it's interesting. But
and not that actually affects the result either.
No, it doesn't affect the result at all.
People think that, you know, you're being biased. bias. So like they're going to win now, is it, right? You know, so some of that gets a bit.
Well,
distorted.
That's not true because we don't know what's in the official's ear. It
that's
could
actually
be you guys.
True. We do have a direct line into
that's
the video system.
The VAR.
Yeah, it's one of the VAR. It's like the announcer. No, yeah. John Strong says that.
We need Houston to win this game, please. Yeah.
Yeah. Stu says that was a penalty, so I got to get that.
But there seems to be more like I felt like when social media started becoming a very popular thing, it was meant to like be mean to athletes, right?
That was yeah. Now it's to be mean to everyone.
Well, it gives the person at the home on the couch a voice, yeah, voice.
Right.
If you want to
me covered
check
in
it,
Dorito yeah. dust, I get to yell about a guy yeah. who's been running for 75 minutes yeah. for not running hard enough on that one.
But
pass.
now it's gotten so niche that now they are criticizing the announcers themselves as if it's equivalent to the play on the field, and it requires same level of like attention, which I'm
an announcer's development academy.
I would say if we had beers in front of us instead of microphones, I could have a very long conversation about that topic. The shortest answer I will give, though, I have not logged into my Twitter account since January, because I got to a point. Part of it was that, part of it was some of the other stuff on my timeline that it was making me unhappy. And what that's yeah. not going to make me, you telling me that you think I mispronounce such and such's name and that makes me the worst announcer ever, that's not going to make me better at my job. So I have a new fake sort of stalker Twitter account that I use to follow the news sources I need, and then yeah. occasionally I'll heckle him. He doesn't know where it's coming from.
Oh, man. You got a burner
but
account.
I just got to a point.
See,
yeah,
this is my goal is to find his burner account.
It
so
is.
If you guys can help me.
This is big news.
We will help you. We are now on
Ziggy Schmidt and I share the same login app.
Now, I don't know if you guys noticed, but like as American soccer commentators and former soccer player, especially all those of us who try to help perpetuate American soccer culture, we get a lot of stuff from overseas. In particular, recently, well, one of the announcers called it a kick save.
David James in Salt Lake City. And I made fun of that in our Bundesliga game the week
Then
after.
You made fun of it. Yeah. Well, we got a lot of shit. We can say that because we can curse on the show. We got a lot of shit from Europe.
Shit.
All of a sudden, it's like the guy kicked the ball and he saved it. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden the tradition of soccer means nothing to this country. Do you guys ever feel the pressure to have to be perfect?
I don't feel that stuff upsets me because it not as much like I could possibly not care less what anyone in Europe thinks. I don't need someone that lives in England to give me their stamp of approval.
Right.
Among other things, it's not my audience. If it's people in America, if it's Americans that sort of are saying you don't know what you're talking about because you're not English, that irks me a little bit. But that's part of it. I talk about my Zen place and sort of those anxiety moments I've had through the spring is getting to a point where I don't care. It's not a contempt for the audience, but it's like, if you're going to get hung up on the pedantry of a kick save or even the use of soccer or football or PK things, like who cares? If you're going to hang your hat on that, if that's the card you feel you need to play to make yourself feel superior to everyone else, I just don't have time for
it's
that.
It's like the soccer and football thing.
Yeah.
You know,
so annoying.
You just run, might as well just run around in circles. For an hour, you know, it's just the same thing. One guy's gonna say soccer, one's gonna who cares? And you know what? I interchange them. I was born in Scotland, and I grew up with football.
You can hear it in his voice, can't you?
Football, it's football. And you know, so I grew up with saying that, and then it became soccer. And then when I went back to the UK, it was football. And then when I'm back here, it's soccer. Who cares? It is the same.
Really
sport.
Not that.
And by the way, I guarantee you, there's no other country on earth that has this same sort of insecurity and inferiority level. I guarantee you, people in Japan, whether they're fans or commentators or people in Nigeria or people anywhere in South America are worried about these types of things that sort of filter their way into our conversation about American soccer culture.
But I think we need to care less, though.
And that's what I mean.
Totally.
Because
Bob Bradley, I think Bob Bradley got stuck on a little bit of that when he went to Swansea.
Yeah,
and,
with the PK thing.
Almost just got a little bit defensive about it. And when instead, and Bob is, he's very passionate, he's very prideful, he's passionate about our game in the United States, and he's been a big part of that. But I just wish he would have just not cared about it, you know, just let it go. Who cares? Don't get sucked in, because then Sky Sports started that parody series. Have you guys seen the Brad Bobley Coaching Academy?
And great work.
So yeah, in many ways he's a legend there.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
so.
Totally.
He's got his own segment.
I did Megnuts a couple times last year at the Gold
Megnuts,
Cup.
Yeah.
We did Megnuts a couple times last year at the Gold Cup.
And then our producer got in our ear and goes, okay, that's enough Megnuts.
we'll wrap with this, and I just want to make sure I get this out, because this is my theory on why there is this contention between England and America. I honestly think there's this fear that American soccer is going to explode.
That's part of it.
And it's going to be more popular than every other league in the world. And I think it's this constantly putting them down so that
Do you think the English have an inferiority complex?
That might be everywhere.
It's their game. Didn't you know?
Yeah. They took over the world and now own none of it. And now you think they're worried about us doing it?
When the U.S. was leading Portugal 3-0 in 2002, the commentator on Italian television said, Italy had better win this World Cup because America's going to take over. Now, obviously, it didn't quite happen that way. But I do legitimately think that's part of it, is a feeling this is the one area where America isn't dominant, where we can sort of have it for ourselves. And in the same way, I think we have that in America, where people feel like, I don't want soccer to be too mainstream. It's that band that only I know. Yeah. And those are the types of things that I'm hopeful that we can do at Fox at this World Cup is whatever little tempest in a teacup that exists from certain sectors of social media, that we can move past that stuff and say, yeah, we're Americans. We all grew up on this game. We don't have English accents. We don't affect any sort of thing from any other culture. We're creating our own culture and sort of get in this month in Russia to a point where we can ignore these nonsense conversations because they're meaningless anyway. We all know that there's no real relevance to any of it, and yet it still is perpetuated, and there are still people absolutely that feel that you have to have those types of things to have a real sense of authenticity. There's nothing inauthentic about any of us who have grown up in this sport, who live this sport 24/7. We just happen to be in America. It's no different from anywhere else. So maybe that can be something that can come out the other side of this World Cup, that we can just sort of shut everybody up, or at least get to a point where they're still talking, but no one's listening to them.
Yeah, I just want to add to it. And the World Cup becomes the time where our game, and I say our game, and like the soccer hardcore fans, it becomes the mainstream talking point. And people are going to be talking about the game that soccer fans tend to get a little bit defensive towards. So they say, why don't we get more mainstream coverage on the big talk shows and on, you know, on The Herd or, you know, some of these other shows. But then when people talk about soccer, they say, well, you don't know the game. You don't know what you're talking about.
How dare you talk about it? Yeah.
Why don't we invite a lot of these people into the conversation? And whether it's the low-hanging fruit of the Ronaldos and the Messis, if that's where you want people to start, we get too defensive about our game and people that don't know the game the way that we do, as opposed to bringing those people in the conversation instead of getting on Twitter and yelling at them and saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You're comparing Bill Belichick to Joachim Love or, you know, these different things. And I think we always have an opportunity every 4 years during the World Cup to bring more of those people into the conversation, because that is our time to shine. And that's something I'm looking forward to, especially with the commitment that, you know, Fox has made across the board, because we are pushing it across all our different platforms and people are talking about it that are probably uncomfortable talking about it, but they know that this is the world's biggest sporting event.
And by the way, Fox has put a pair of 32-year-old Americans as their lead announce team. No one else is doing that. And so that, but that's what the audience that's what your audience is. It's sort of young Americans that grew up at a time when soccer was a bigger thing. And so that's what's fun for us, is to be able to really sort of be representative of that generation and go and do it and sort of say, yeah, we have just as much right to be doing this as anyone else.
Well, it's going to be great seeing you two guys in backwards caps on
and sandwiches.
Being super cool.
Suit that's our new branding. We've been working with Claudia on our new branding.
I wear shorts in Sochi, though, because Sochi is actually quite warm.
Backwards Gucci hat.
Any sponsors out there, hit us up.
Well, guys, I mean, speaking for both of us, it is an honor to have you on the show, and it's an honor that I know you guys are going to be representing the sport and the country well, and it's an honor to speak to you guys and hear your voices on this show. And I know you guys are going to leave memorable moments for a lot of
or die trying.
And remember, if somebody talks shit about America, everybody gets it. That's why you out there. You represent America. Everybody.
It's weird. I go into a strong Scottish accent when I'm over there.
I wear my Canada hat. It's great.
John Strong, Stu Holden, thank you so much for being on the show. You guys are the absolute best. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to The Cooligan. Just want you to do us a huge favor. Go to On The Volley Apparel, onthevolleyapparel.com, and get yourself something. And if you do, put in Cooligans, you're going to get 20% off.
That's right. It's great gear. It's like it's soccer streetwear. On The Volley Apparel. They make our shirts. All right, if you want to pick up a couple of the few Gulliest shirts that we still have available.
There's not that many left.
Very limited. There are very few left. Go to onthevolleyapparel.com. You can get tees. You can get hoodies. You can get tank tops. You can get even like jerseys. jerseys to wear while you're playing. It's dope gear. They've always shown us a lot of support and are a big reason why the Cooligans are where they are at the moment. So make sure, go to onthevolleyapparel.com and use the promo code Cooligans, and you will get 20% off your entire order. So the gear's
whatever
already...
Whatever you want. Yeah. Go get it.
The gears the gear's already very, very affordable, so you're only going to get it cheaper than that. So
and they also have stuff that you can wear while you play soccer, like the jersey-type material. It's really dope. Go to onthevolleyapparel.com, use Cooligans, get yourself 20% off. Thank you so much to John Strong and Stu Holden.
Oh, my God.
That was incredible. Thank you to Fox Sports for believing in us and letting them come into our studio. Thank you so much for Cumulus and OG Podcast Network for giving us a studio to do this in, because this would have been really awkward in my apartment. Thank you very much. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!